You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news. Who has the power to raise the dead? Can save us from our sin. He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. Who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free?
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday Live. David, you are up and at it.
I am. Both of those things.
Both of those things. David Francoeur, Karen Hubbard, and we have a guest in the studio with us that we're going to be bringing in just a little bit to join us on air. Dylan Russell, you can say hello to everyone, Dylan. You got to pull that mic right up to your face. And
good morning, all you radio audience. I'm anxious to speak to you when it comes to my time to speak. You be blessed.
There we go. We got your mic up and everything. Well, this is Wednesday Live coming to you from WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and we are happy to let you know that this next hour, in part, is being brought to you by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance.
Wonderful.
Treasure Coast Christian Alliance has been calling the body of Christ together to do some really great and important things. And we've had pastor gatherings, prayer gatherings. We have an annual proclamation dinner, which has been very well attended with several hundred, close to 500 over the last few years. And this is a time for leaders, that is both church leaders, civic leaders and business leaders to come together and just speak the word of God over our region. Mm-hmm. And so we are looking forward to things that God has for us. Going to be talking some more about the Alliance. Going to have perhaps the executive director joining us a little later this morning. We have some prayer requests. Mm-hmm. Let's get to those first, and then we're going to move along. So, David, you're going
to
go first?
I would be happy to. I had a call from actually on our answering machine from Jean. I think she's in the West Palm area, and she was asking prayer for her son, John, and he's, I believe, a senior in high school, approaching graduation, having very busy, has a lot going on.
Yeah, music, he's involved in a lot of things.
He is, and he's quite gifted, but all of that life, it's so challenging and so full that she asked prayer for him to be able to keep focused, handle all of these requirements that are upon him. For the grace of God to fall on him, to bless him in this last year of high school. So let's come before the Lord. Father God, we thank you for John. Amen. We thank you for Jean, his mom, and the mother's heart that cries out to you for blessing for her son, and we join her in this. Father, that your Holy Spirit would be so close to John in these days that he would know that parakletos, that coming alongside of him, to journey with him through these last days of high school, help him to study, to produce the great sources that will be put on him to learn and to understand the things he needs to know. But Lord, keep him from any anxiety and frustration, and to take that, what would be his anxiety, and to channel that, to focus that, Father, on the zeal for learning, and prepare him for the next step in his education. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that great? Mom's calling in.
Yeah.
She is a supporter of WCNO as well.
She is, very much so.
So that's a great blessing. And so we want to thank you for calling us and letting us know exactly what's going on in your family so we can pray in agreement with mm-hmm. you. So, Gene, thanks a lot. And we would like an update.
Mm-hmm.
I know that God is going to strengthen her son, and he's going to have a successful completion of the year.
I believe so.
So we want to hear about that, and maybe we could have a call in from mother and son. That would be pretty awesome. Karen, what do you have from the mail?
I have. We received a request from our brother Trent in Fort Pierce.
What a great and faithful brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and great supporter of the station.
Yep, and just carries a burden for his family.
That's right. And he asked us, please continue to pray for his wife's salvation. And if possible, ask the listeners to pray for his wife as well.
There we go.
So we'll just lift her up now. Father God, thank you, Lord, for Trent. Lord God, we know that you hear every prayer that he prays, God, and we know the cry of his heart is to see his wife fully Jesus. Committed to you, Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, we know that everything is in your time.
Thank you.
And Lord, you are the one who draws Farah to yourself, Lord God.
Yes, Lord, amen.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the right time, the right place, and the right circumstances, Lord, that her heart will be open to you, Jesus.
Jesus.
And
amen.
Lord, that, you know, we may want it to be one way, but you have such a greater plan, mm-hmm. Lord God.
Thank you.
Father, and we just pray that when the day comes, when she does receive you, that she is fully committed and will never turn back again.
Amen.
And we thank you, and we decree
Jesus.
That and declare that
yes, Lord.
Salvation for her, mm-hmm. because it's your will for every man to be saved.
Amen.
And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And of course, we are praying and agreeing with each of you who may have a spouse or part of your family living with you or extended family that need the Lord. You've been just lifting them up. And remember today that Abraham, as he interceded for Lot and prayed over the city, how that God was so actively involved in Lot's rescue, in his family's rescue. And so our prayer is very important. James tells us that the effectual fervent prayer, James 5,
Amen.
The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth. Means it's accomplishing something. You're not just talking, but
That's
God
right.
is listening. Amen. And God is actively involved in answering that prayer. So we're so glad that that Trent stays in touch with us. And yes. I'm looking for that day when we hear a hallelujah.
That's right.
Be raised up from Trent and hear of his family's restoration and to wear it together. So many times over the years, you know, Dave, as a pastor, you've seen this as well, where you have one spouse that God has touched first.
Yes.
And they may be a fireball, but the other the other partner or the other part of the family may just be like cold water being thrown on the fire, you know, constantly trying to put it out.
Right.
But over time, you know, praying, the body of Christ praying together, that partner being faithful to just love and serve and lift up Jesus, to see that partner come into the kingdom of God is such a powerful thing.
Absolutely.
And it's powerful in the body of Christ when families are united. And we have seen a lot of that take place in our congregation over the years, where families that were strange, you know, maybe business issues or maybe just sin. You know, a lot of times it's just sin that has divided families. And there's hurts, there's hardness of heart, there's division, different things going on in a family. But over the faithfulness, one person that just gets a hold of that and begins to just pray and stand in obedience for his family, how the family is moved to come to faith. So that is quite powerful. Did we have any other mail? Did you have any more? Okay.
Nope.
So, you know, I am thinking of Joseph and Mary. Now, we're not talking about, you know, Jesus's parents. We're talking about another Mary and Joseph. But Joseph, who has called us, made us aware that his two boys, I believe the entire family, had COVID.
That's right.
But his two boys, he and his sons, are restored and in health. And his wife is making tremendous progress. She has been out of the hospital now for some days. She's in rehab. And her kidneys are beginning to function again.
Praise God.
And so they are anticipating her being able to go home very soon.
Amen.
And so Joseph, I just spoke with him this week, and he said, you know, continue to pray, but want to just give praise to God for having, you know, mercy on my family and bringing forth that healing. And Joseph, you know, he's one of the friends of our family.
Absolutely.
You know, he calls in, and when he calls, I recognize his voice. It's almost like, you know, I've never met him. And many of you I may not meet here in this world, but we'll have together, forever together. But Joseph is one of those. He calls in. When he calls in, he's just a brother. We've prayed about so many things together. And so he prays for this ministry. He's probably listening today. And so, Joseph, we send out a big hello. We love you. We're looking for Mary to be fully raised up. And thank you for your support. We just received a donation from Joseph as well. I do have one other thing I wanted to make mention of, and we have brought these different topics up. When in your county or city, when there are volunteer positions available, we would like to bring these to the attention of the listening audience, to you, and encourage the family of God to get involved in local government, get involved in sharing your faith. David, this morning, as I was in my quiet time, I was reading of something that Jesus said. He said, "You are the salt." The salt of the earth, and spent some time just meditating, thinking about that this morning, how God has put us here now to make a difference in this generation, right now.
Amen.
In this current political season, we are here now to minister. Yes. And so it's a beautiful thing to be able to do that. And sometimes people will say, "I wish I knew what I could do to make a difference." Well, this is one of those things. Now, what county are we in, Martin or St. Lucie? Where is this?
This is for the city of Port St. Lucie.
City of Port St. Lucie. Okay, it's a volunteer position, I believe.
Yes, there are actually eight positions.
Eight? Okay.
Eight open one-year term positions on the recently reactivated Affordable Housing Advisory Committee.
Okay.
And this committee was established by the city council to review established policies and procedures, ordinances, land development regulations, and the city's comprehensive plan policy, and then any other aspects included about affordable housing. And they're seeking city residents who are connected to affordable housing, in-home building, banking, mortgage, labor, real estate, or local planning agencies. And anyway, they'll be having a meeting May 20th at 1:30 p.m. You can call 772-344-4084 if you're interested. And there's also a website, www.cityofpsl.com/committees. You'll need to send that in by April 19th. You have to fill out an application for that. Again, you could call 772, the city clerk's office, 772-871-5157.
All right, so that's an opportunity.
Housing. Yep.
Opportunities for affordable housing, and that's something that is very important in our communities. And why shouldn't the body of Christ be involved in the development and direction that's taking place within our community? Well, I understand that Ma and Paul are with us and are ready to share some wisdom mm-hmm. with us. And so we are going to bring them right up to the microphone and see if we can't get some wisdom right out of Bicker's Corner, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for those who were listening last week, when Ma and Paul were with us, you will remember Paul's good news that their good friend Mark Dombrowski led the mayor of Bicker's Corner to Christ. This news moved quickly through the small community and generated much joy. To everyone's delight, the mayor attended services at Bicker's Corner Community Church. He brought with him a brand new Bible and a notepad and was seen diligently taking notes during Pastor Breckenridge's sermon. Ma and Paul immediately noted the changes in the mayor's demeanor. He was truly friendly and expressed his delight at having Jesus in his heart. He exhibited the inner changes that Christ brings to a willing soul. Paul was especially pleased to have the mayor as a new brother in Christ. Paul loves to nurture baby Christians, and so he reached out to the mayor on that Sunday and volunteered to disciple him. Paul's offer was met with a heartfelt and enthusiastic yes. Today was the first discipleship meeting Paul had with the mayor, and he comes home to share some of his impressions with Ma.
Hey, Paul, welcome back. How was your first meeting with the mayor?
Oh, I gotta say, Ma, that feller is one on fire witness for Christ. We met down at Ed's Coffee and Muffler Shop, you know, and the mayor was a-preaching before he came into the door. Well, there was at least eight folks gathered around him and listening to what he had to say.
No kidding, Pa. That's plumb wonderful.
Oh, you bet, Ma. And he led all of them to Jesus. He had them all kneeling on the floor, repenting and praising God.
Well, glory be. I gotta say, Pa, I ain't ever figured the mayor would ever get saved unless he was a-dying and he felt the fires of hell burning his feet.
Yeah, there's some folks like that, Ma. Well, they want a full life of sinning and hope at the end to get a couple of minutes to get right with God.
Well, it don't work that way, does it, Pa?
For sure, Ma. But the mayor done give his life to Jesus, and he's all fired up to grow in his faith.
Hallelujah. And I'm so glad you done took him under your wing, Pa. There ain't no better man to help him become a faithful disciple than you.
Oh, thank you, Ma. I really appreciate that. I gotta say, though, right in the beginning of our time together, he said something what concerned me a bit.
Oh, like what?
Well, on that score, I gotta tell you, you know, the mayor is just like a lot of folks who are baby Christians. I mean, they get all excited about serving Jesus and all, and that's a good thing, Ma. But then they get all head up about doing ministry.
Well, ain't that a good thing, Pa? I mean, every Christian person has Holy Spirit gifts for ministry, and God's intent is they discover those gifts and use them to serve the Lord.
Well, sure, Ma, I get that. But what I'm talking about is when folks who just come to Christ and are right at the very beginning of learning about what it means to be a Christian and such, then they decide God's calling them to be ordained.
Now, Pa, we can't judge folks who might be called in that way. Surely God has issued calls to folks early in their own walk with Christ, to get ordained to preach or pastor a church.
Well, I don't doubt that, Ma. But even them folks had to invest a lot of time in getting prepared for those callings. I mean, the mayor's only been saved for a couple of weeks. Well, that brand new Bible he took to church on Sunday is the first one he's ever held in his hands. He told me, well, he was afraid to open it because he might mess up the gold on the edge of the pages.
Well, I guess I see your concern, Pa. He's got to have some basics to learn before he can rightly pursue any specific calling.
You bet. And he ain't done any Bible reading or praying or nothing what mature Christians do. He's only just got started.
It's like he just learned to swim and now he wants to cross the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I admire his zeal and all, but I got to do something to get him focused on getting exposed to the basics first.
Well, did he say anything about why he thought God was calling him to be ordained?
Well, he said that him being the mayor and all, he was a man with authority for helping people. Well, he believes that what he's doing now translates into being an ordained minister.
That's it? I mean, that's his whole reason for looking at being ordained?
Well, I guess, Ma.
You know, Pa, I remember old Pastor Breckenridge talking about this very thing a while back when he was speaking to the women's group at the church.
Yeah? What did he say?
Well, it was like this. He was speaking on ministry, and he said, like we just talked about, all Christians are called to ministry in service to the Lord. But he said the church ain't necessarily done a good job everywhere on giving the people a full understanding of all the ministries available.
What exactly did he mean, Ma?
Well, he said a lot of churches made a big deal about ordained ministry, but didn't really nurture the ministry of the people in the pews.
Oh, like maybe ministry was, I don't know, like second class?
Yeah, something like that.
Hmm.
He said the church needs to get back to the Bible and take a hard look at what Jesus did with his church. How he taught his disciples to do the ministry that he was doing.
Ma, you're a genius. Well, that's exactly what I need to do with the mayor. Well, get him into the Gospels and do a hard study of the church Jesus formed and what he taught him to do.
Well, I believe that's a good way, Pa. Jesus gives his church a clear understanding of how he wants us to be. We ain't to stray from his teaching, but some have anyway.
Oh, I know, Ma, and that's a true shame. I mean, thinking back some years, I know I met pastors who may have called themselves into that ministry themselves and didn't check with God, and the pain and suffering that they and their people experienced could have been avoided.
Yeah. You know, I remember one pastor in the church I attended when I was a little girl. He got ordained soon after his receiving Jesus, and he was called to our church after our pastor died suddenly. This fellow came to believe he could heal folks. Every Sunday, he had a time of healing prayer, but nobody got healed. And after a while, he started yelling at him for not having enough faith.
Ma, that's terrible.
It sure was, Pa. And then one Sunday, he started chewing out a feller who wanted healing for a bad temper.
I think I know where this is going, Ma.
When the healing prayer didn't take place, this pastor got on that man's case something awful. Pointed his finger at him. Called him an unrepentant sinner. I mean, that pastor was red in the face about it.
I imagine that man took a poke at the pastor then, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
No? I would have thought that feller had lost his temper real good for all the humiliation the pastor caused him.
Well, as it turned out, the man just quietly walked out of the church.
Well then maybe he was healed after all.
Well, for a living, he drove a wrecker. And that... While the pastor was finishing the service, he hooked his wrecker up to the pastor's car, and he towed it to the edge of a steep cliff. By the time it hit the bottom, there weren't a piece of the car left bigger than a basketball.
So the pastor got the idea he was maybe in the wrong profession?
Yeah, he did, and the people helped him. Next Sunday, all the church locks had been changed.
Well, so your story gives me more energy to work with the mayor, Ma. I don't want him to get frustrated by going in the wrong direction. I'm going to make a commitment to the Lord first, and to him as well, to make sure he gets some solid Bible basics.
You know, after all your teaching and nurturing him, Pa, it might be that the Lord is truly calling him into ordained ministry.
Could be, Ma, but first he's got to crack open the Bible and get to know it backward and forward.
What about his fear of ruining the gold trim on those pages?
Well, he done bought a used paperback Bible at the thrift store. Well, he said he'd start with that first, and by the time it falls apart, he might have the courage to open up the good one.
The issue Ma and Pa have talked about is certainly a concern for the church whenever new Christians come into the fold. The ability a Christian has to discern God's will clearly comes from a careful and faithful study of all the discipleship resources God has provided the church. This is not to say that new Christians cannot hear the Lord. The fact they received Jesus is proof that their spiritual ears are working. However, new Christians require adequate discipleship training and the nurture and encouragement of the more mature believers to grow in their faith. God is pouring out His Spirit on the church today. We are in a season of powerful revival and regeneration. It's a new paradigm, and one where God's favor is upon those churches that get back to Bible basics and teach their members to listen carefully to God. Ma and Paul aren't the only ones with new Christians to disciple. The whole of God's church is facing a rising tide of conversions as God brings revival upon the earth. Well, that is Ma and Paul right here at Bickers Corner. And let me tell you, so be it, Lord. So be it, Lord. May this rising tide of new Christians be a part of your family, your congregation, and your city and my city, and certainly across our nation and around our world.
Amen.
Well, Ma and Paul, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great morning with them. And we still have more things to come. This is Wednesday Live in WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we have a guest with us in the studio. We're going to get along into a topic that is going to be coming right up. In fact, it's the National Day of Prayer. And I'm still waiting to see if we're going to have the executive director of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance available to meet up with us. This is a very busy time of year for him and his business. However, we are excited to let you know that there will be a regional Treasure Coast National Day of Prayer celebration that's going to take place in the evening. Now, I want to say this before I give the information on this event that's coming up that's going to be at the Mid-Florida Event Center. If your church or your community, you might be in North Miami, you might be in Hope Sound, you might be in Jupiter, you might be up in Melbourne, but if your church and your community is involved in a National Day of Prayer event and you would like for us to promote it, would you give us a call at the station so that we can make mention of that as well? And so I want to get back to this. The National Day of Prayer is going to be coming up. That is May the 6th, and that will be coming shortly. And at the Mid-Florida Event Center, 9221 Civic Center Place in Port St. Lucie, Florida, there's going to be a coming together of the body of Christ, believers from all across the region, Treasure Coast of Florida, will be joining us. Many different churches, many different pastors, different leaders will be leading out in prayer. It's going to be a great time of worship together. And so hopeful to have Chris join us. He may link up with us in a minute. But want to just say again that in part, Wednesday Live is brought to you from the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, and we thank them for their support today. And if we end up with a phone call here in a few moments, we're going to jump right to it. But in the meantime, I want to welcome Dylan Russell with us this morning. Dylan, welcome to WCNO. Have you been on air with us yet?
Thank you much. Early on, I did mention our meeting location.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Very, very short.
That's right.
I think 30-second presentation.
Okay. And you do have a bit of a background in listening to Christian radio.
Yes, I do.
You moved, I think, from the other coast some years back.
Yes.
And you were involved in support of a station there?
Up north in Tallahassee. Okay. I spent 30 years in Tallahassee, and I was involved there with a Christian radio station. The owners were very devout Christians. We had lunch together a couple of times.
Excellent.
And, I was publishing a magazine at that time. They advertised, and I promoted their radio station.
Excellent.
In return.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, Dylan, we're talking about the National Day of Prayer coming up, and you know, the importance of the body of Christ coming together to pray and having an active faith to reach our families and reach our nation and bring them to Christ. And of course, we know that is the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in thinking about nations that seem to be beyond hope, Jonah faced one of those nations.
Yes, he did.
Nineveh was a nation that God had just had enough of. I mean, literally, the word of God that was given was, 40 days? And so...
what was their problem?
I believe maybe the same problem we have today. Doing their own thing and failing to turn to God.
Amen.
Yeah, they were a ruthless, wicked people. They were godless people, and they were one of the chief enemies of the Jewish people. And who do you think God's going to send? A Jewish prophet to them. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, you know, there is hope. There is hope.
Is that the story where the prophet was swallowed by a whale? And many of you know, I think, the book of Jonah, and it was a big fish, and I guess a whale fits into that category.
Yes.
But when you hear the story, people usually say swallowed by a whale.
Yeah, swallowed by a whale.
And then spit out upon the shores of Nineveh.
Yeah.
In his presentation, Jonah, although he was running from Christ and did not want to go there because he did not like Nineveh, they were so wicked, that he was reluctant to go there. But he did, I guess, have to go there because of Christ and him picking him up with a big fish and giving him transportation, spitting him out on the shore. He moved into Nineveh, and in his early presentation, when he first got there, the first day or two, he was talking to them about repentance, and several of the individuals there did repent, put on sackcloth and ashes and so forth. But then the king heard of it, and the king then demanded that the whole country repent, and they did, and they covered themselves with ashes and dressed in ashcloth,
sackcloth.
Ashes. Thank you, and ashes. Yeah. And God did then grant them their request and their repentance, and did not wipe them out in the 40 days like He had said that He would.
Right. Pardon me. And this is the heart of God. We see the heart of God.
Amen. And they then changed, and everything was fine for a period of years. I don't know how many years, but
almost 100.
Yeah,
it's about 100 years
about
until 100 they were wiped
years,
out.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I want to focus on that particular story. I'm not a teacher. Never have been very good about verbal presentations and public speeches, but I do understand that the best way to teach, one of the best methods, is to go from an unknown to a known. So we know with Nineveh what happened there.
Yes.
It is documented in the Bible.
Yes.
What happened. And it was from repentance.
Yeah.
Ma and Pa spoke about repentance here this morning.
Yes.
And it has encouraged me to talk about repentance as well. Repentance is one thing that has bothered me, the lack of, for many years. And also, the other thing is, why do non-church people refer to church people as hypocrites? And that's a common thing. And there's a reason for it. What is going on in the world today? Are we getting better? Are we moving more towards Christ? Or are we moving away from Christ? As I see it, and I think most of you will as well, our morality is just falling apart. We're going downhill very rapidly. And what I hear on radio and TV and in other public speakers, they are not addressing the issue of repentance so much as they are of the shots and the viruses and so on and so forth, the scientific approach to cure our problems that we're having with the pandemic. I want to go to a verse in the Bible that has become my favorite verse. Okay.
Okay. We just got a call in, Dylan. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're going to come back to repentance in just a moment. But I believe I have Chris Fogle online. Mm-hmm. And so I want to bring him in if we can get that call to come in here. And we're going to pick right back up where you are in just a few moments, Dylan, with repentance, because that totally ties in with exactly the topic we're on here today.
Amen.
All right. And I'm waiting for the call, and I don't see the call. Okay. Mm. Continue on until they get me a call. Once it comes in, we're going to have to break.
Okay. As I say, repentance has become a big thing with me. I'm coming upon my 90th year. In July, I'll be 90 years old. Mm. And I want to give you kind of a span of my Christianity from early on. I belong to a Christian Missionary Alliance church in Miami. And Miami for most people. Sorry, I'm a native. I say Miami. And when I was 7, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I did not know what repentance was at that time, and I had no cause or thought of repenting from my worldly or wicked ways. But I did know good from evil. And I knew that I had to get away from things that were evil and move towards things that were good. My teacher was my grandmother, and pardon me, she was a devout Christian, and she did teach the gospel right. And I accepted Christ based on his death and resurrection, and I followed that up by being baptized later. And many things have happened between now and then. One thing that I have recognized and seen that Christianity sometimes comes like a shot in the dark, stars a sudden change from where you are to your Christianity. In others, in my case, it has been a series of progression in growing from that point when I was 7 years old until now. And several changes have been made in my life in that period of time. And I will touch on some of those as we progress.
Chris, you there?
I'm here.
Having a phone call coming in, I'll turn it over to the pastor.
All right, well, we now have Chris Fogle, and so Dylan Russell, we're going to get back to what you're sharing about repentance. And Chris, good to have you on air. And I know this is a real busy time of year for you, but we've been talking about the upcoming prayer event. And so would you just give us a promo on what's getting ready to take place? And then if you have a moment, want to talk about the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance.
Oh, I'd be excited. You know, each year we have the National Day of Prayer, which is the first Thursday of every month. And we provide an opportunity in the evening for people to come from all over St. Lucie and Martin County to the Civic Center, which is called the Mid-Florida Credit Union, located on US 1. And we have a time of prayer and praise, and it's incredible when the body of Christ comes together and we're able to lift our voices and share with Christians from all over the Treasure Coast. And this has been an annual event. Last year was a little bit challenging with COVID. We actually did it in a recording studio, and it was live on YouTube. In fact, you can go on YouTube and see last year's National Day of Prayer. But this year, We're hopeful that people will have had a chance to get their shots and feel free, and those that still have not gotten it will be able to keep safe distance and still be able to join their brothers and sisters in prayer and worship. So again, it's the first Thursday of May, which is May 6th, Cinco de Seis, and that will be at the Civic Center, I believe, from 7 to 9.
Very good, very good. So this is going to be coming up shortly. We want to just make sure that everyone knows, churches, youth groups, prayer groups, home groups, individuals, families. This is a family event, right, Chris?
It's definitely a family event, and because we, you know, first of all, we pray over our nation, and we pray over our local elected governmental officials. We pray over our first responders. We pray over the needs of the church and the family. And so it's an awesome time for people to come together and lift up our nation and our community in prayer. And for children to attend, it's just great for them to see the excitement of people from all over that just come there to pray and worship. And I have not talked to our individual to lead our praise group, but I'm hopeful that we'll have the same person we had the last couple of years who does an incredible job. I won't mention his name until I've confirmed him.
Right.
But it should be a great evening.
All right. And, let's talk just for a moment about the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Chris, I know you have been a part in leading this since its formation, and there's been many different areas of ministry that the Alliance has been able to sort of call the body of Christ together. Give us just a bit of the history and the purpose of it, and we want to just let our listeners know again that Wednesday Live in part is sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. So Chris, tell us a little bit about the history and the mission.
The history of the organization dates back a little over 4 years ago. A gentleman who was a strong mentor in my life, his name was Jim Way, encouraged us to form an organization in the Treasure Coast that would not just encompass pastors, but business leaders and civic leaders, and bringing them all together. By doing that, we feel that we are better able to support our Christian community, our brothers and sisters, and so we've done that. We have, up until January, we had 7 pastors that are board members. Unfortunately, one of our board members passed away in January, Apostle Walter Barron, and we're working to fill that open vacancy on the board, but it's 7 pastors from Martin and St. Lucie County that oversee the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And, you know, we do, every year we have the Christmas Proclamation Supper. 500 people from business, from civic and pastoral come together. We usually have a featured keynote speaker. This year we had Bishop Jackson from Charlotte. The year before we had Bishop Nunes from Baltimore. We've just been blessed with some great speakers, but it's an opportunity again for fellowship and coming together. So the pastors oftentimes feel like they carry it alone, and when we can bring business and civic leaders together with them, you know, we're stronger together. So that's part of what we do. We had the back in I think it was September. We had something called Stand Courageous for Men. It was a powerful event.
Tremendous.
It was open to all men in the Treasure Coast area, but we had 100 people come up from the Miami area. We had people come down from Orlando.
Right.
We've had pastors' breakfast. We're just trying to get everybody to realize that we are better together. It's not a denomination. Pastors still pastor their church, but when they come together, as the body, we are so much stronger, and that's what we're working on. We had a prayer meeting, I want to say 3 weeks ago at the Civic Center. It was a powerful time. Again, people came from all over. The chairs were in a circle, and people got up and prayed, and it was an awesome time. And again, we do things at the Civic Center, Jonathan, because we don't want any one church to be slighted, that it's our thing. So we try to find independent venues so as to bring as many of the church leaders and business leaders and pastors together for the events that we have. And like I said, I'm excited. We have our Christmas Proclamation Supper this year again in December. I know there's another event being scheduled in October. It's not our event, but we will help support them. It's going to be an all-day women's conference on October 16th. And like I said, we have our National Day of Prayer coming up on May 6th, Thursday evening.
All right, very good. Well, there's a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of good things that that God is at work doing on the Treasure Coast, and we get to be a part of that. And very excited, Chris, to have you with us on air this morning. And so,
well, Jonathan, you're a big part of it. Jonathan, you are the president, so it's under your leadership that we've been able to really do these things, and we certainly appreciate the leadership you've taken with the radio station. And, you know, your station has been such a blessing to so many people, many of them homebound. And so just proud of the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Chris. Of course, as you said, better together. That's the plan. That is the plan.
Amen.
That God has given us. Before you leave, Chris, I'd like you to sort of give us a standalone introducing yourself with your name, so we have something that we can put into some spots and just give a something that we could use here during the Wednesday Live for an introduction to the Treasure Coast Alliance. This is Chris Fogel, and you know, just give us a little promo for the Alliance.
Well,
I got you. Sorry about that. Well, we already have some material here, and our listeners are familiar with the Alliance, and we're just wanting to, during this, really what I'm looking for, Chris, since you're not in the studio, and I know you're burning the candle on both ends at this time of year, but I'm looking to put together some promo spots during Wednesday Live that we can play. And so you've given us some good stuff today. Again, we have this event coming up in Port St. Lucie. It's the National Day of Prayer. We are linking up with other believers all across this nation. This is going to be on May the 6th, 7 to 9 p.m. at Mid-Florida Event Center. And Chris, you want to just lift up a moment of prayer over the Treasure Coast before you leave us today?
Yes, Father God, I am just excited about what you're doing here in the Treasure Coast.
Amen.
Lord, you are raising up an army, Lord, and we thank you. We see pastors coming together every Tuesday morning in prayer. We see the Caravan for Christ that will be going on this Friday night at the Neighborhood Bible Church on 13th Street in Fort Pierce. Mm. Lord, we just see the prayer circles that you've developed here in Martin and St. Lucie County, and the pastors that you're bringing together. Father, we are stronger together. We pray for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to come upon each and every one of us. Lord, to call us to be what you've called us to be. Lord, help us to be obedient to your calling for each one of us. Oftentimes, Lord, we fight you on things that you want us to do, Lord. Help our heart to be free and to open. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see Amen. That which you have for us.
Amen.
And Lord, I just thank you for all the listeners who are just hungry for your word. Amen. Lord, I pray for WCNO that just provides the word to each and every person, Lord, who may not even be able to read it themselves because of infirmities or ages. So, Lord, we just pray for a continued work amongst all the pastors in our community, Lord, that we will come together as the body of Christ.
Amen.
That revival will occur in Martin and St. Lucie County, and churches will be flooded with people who hunger for you, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in your holy and matchless name. Amen.
All right, Chris, again, thank you for pulling away from your busy schedule there for a few moments. And thank you so much for your support of this ministry. And, of course, the Treasure Coast Alliance is sponsoring this hour. And we were so blessed when we received that support. Mm-hmm. So God bless you. Thank you. Stay in touch. And we'll be talking again soon.
God bless you as well. And thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah, great.
All right. We are back to you, Dylan. We were talking about repentance. We're kind of running the clock down here. We're in the last few minutes of the program. And I know Second Chronicles is a part of this call that we have as we think about the National Day of Prayer. And Dylan, I know you were talking about repentance and a little bit about your background there. And I know this has become a message of your life. That you share.
Yes, it has. And try to knit my testimony together from what we were talking about before the telephone conversation you had. As I had said, a teaching method that I think is great is to move from something that is known to something that is unknown to teach. And the known was Nineveh that you have just talked about. We know what happened in Nineveh.
Right.
It's documented. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
What we are missing, I feel, is that we are not repenting as we move forward. We're having a lot of meetings where people are getting together and worshiping God and praising Him, but I don't hear of a lot of repentance that is coming out of that. So as you said, some of the verses in the Bible, there are two of them, and the one that is heard mostly is 2 Chronicles 7:14, but I want to read 13 before I read 14. God says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people." And then 14, "If my people," that's Christians, that's us, "who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," and sometimes it's said just worldly ways, which is the same thing. Worldly ways nowadays are wicked ways. "And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and will heal their land."
Amen.
Now, there's the answer to our pandemic that we're facing now. And I don't hear much of that said on radio, TV, or pastors speaking about repentance. That's the formula that God has given to us. And that's where we need to go. What I hear most about is the shots for the COVID-19.
Right, right.
The scientific approach, what men can do.
Right.
And I don't hear much about what God will do if we will do what He asks us to do.
Amen.
And
Amen.
That is 2 Chronicles 7:14 is what He has asked us to do. And I would pray, I do pray that we will hear more of that on radio and on TV. Repentance, as I said, I'm 90 now. When I was going to church in Miami at 7, I accepted Christ. I didn't know what repentance was. I'd never heard of repentance.
Right.
I knew good from evil, and I knew that I needed to move away from things that I was doing that were not good and move towards Christ. And repentance is moving towards Christ, moving away from our worldly, wicked ways and turning. Repenting is turning towards Christ and become more Christ-like. My progression of my Christian life started when I was 7. There were many years that I did not do much other than that. And what most of us do, and I did, and I think I am right when I say most of us, we talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk.
Mm.
And that had been a problem of mine for many years. And I made some horrible mistakes. And I was a stumbling block, I'm sure, for a lot of people, my peers, that I was around, because I talked about Christ. They knew I was a Christian, but I was not walking the walk.
Mm.
And repentance is just that. You turn from your worldly ways and you turn towards Christ and you live that. Mm. I want to tell you my most recent ministry, I guess you would call it, was at Home Depot, of all places, a cashier at Home Depot. And this is a story. I had made a public proclamation at our men's group that I had repented, and I felt good about that. Earlier, I had given my life to Christ and had made that public. But at the Home Depot, you know, what does that have to do with my repentance? I was shopping. I was putting some shelves up in a workspace. And for those of you who know, you look in your closet and you see these metal shelves, and you got standards and brackets. The standards fastened to the wall, and you put brackets in. I had two size shelves, 12-inch shelves and 16-inch shelves. So I had picked up a couple of shelves and brackets, and I put the brackets in the basket in my cart. And I had gotten the 16-inch brackets first, and then I said, well, I need to get some 12-inch. So I got some 12-inch, and I put them on top of the 16-inch. Now, what has all this got to do with repentance? In my mind, I thought, if the cashier, when I get to the cashier and she looks at these brackets, she's going to ask me, how many do you have? And I'm going to say, what, 10 of them. Well, what the cashier did, she picked up the 16-inch bracket and said, how many of these do you have? I said, oh, I have two sizes in there. Had she picked up the 12-inch, my worldly ways probably would have said to say, I got 10, and let it go at her charging me for those 12-inch. Well, I don't know if God laughed at me, but I think I heard him snickering. He said, gotcha, I gotcha. This cashier, having no idea whether she's a Christian or not, it doesn't make any difference. God used her to teach me a lesson. Repentance is not a change that you make, or it is not like a confession where you confess something. Repentance is a change in your life, the way you live, a lifestyle, if you want to call it that.
Amen.
When you repent, you're not just saying, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm making a confession. It is a process whereby you have changed the way you live, and you try to become more Christ-like. Now, do you ever reach that final point where you are Christ-like? And yes, at death you do, but not before that. But it is a continuum where you move forward and become more Christ-like as you grow older.
Amen. Now, Dylan, this was an honest confession.
Yes, it was. It was a confession.
And you know what? That is exactly what Second Chronicles is talking about.
Amen.
It's talking about putting some wheels to your faith and actually acting upon it. David, does this relate to anything that's going on inside of you as we're coming to a close here this morning?
I totally related to what Dylan said. And I've had moments like that in my life too, being more called to repent and do it standing up, boots on the ground, in front of somebody whom I have hurt.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
Karen's been really quiet. She may not relate to anything.
And that way I will remain.
You
that way she'll remain. Come on, Mo, you had something to say.
She knows we're out of time.
Yeah, well,
I do know we're out of time.
Well, we are almost out of time. We do have time to give our phone numbers out and just let our listeners know that we already are receiving your responses to the letters we sent out for prayer and share. It's going to be starting on the 5th of April and run through the 16th. We'll will be going on air as a team daily, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. in the evening. And we will be taking your calls, your praise reports and prayer requests as you call in. And, of course, we're looking for your mail. And so many of you already are going to let us know what God's put on your heart to give. Some of you are already sending checks in.